Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hi, everyone. On this episode of SaaS Boss Show, I interview Alex Thuma, the founder of SaaS Stock, a global conference that brings together SaaS founders, executives, and investors. Today, we discuss the impact of COVID pandemic on the SaaS businesses, the whole remote work revolution, success stories of SaaS companies that pivoted. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Now, everyone heard or probably even attended some of your conferences. My audience know about the SaaS Stock for sure because, you know, I am the leader of a local Dallas chapter here in the U.S. in the Dallas area. But give us 60 seconds on you, how you started SaaS Stock.
I founded CEO SaaS Stock, started it 2015. It wasn't actually SaaS Stock in 2015. I started a blog and then I started the podcast, the SaaS Revolution Show, which is still going today, 5 years later. And I started doing some meetups and then off the back of that, started to think, how do I turn this into a business? And a lot of people that I was speaking to at the meetups were crying out for a SaaS conference in Europe. And they were like, Alex, you're the person to do it. And I was like, really? I've got no experience in running a conference. But eventually I did some customer development. The more I did, the more I was convinced that this was the right thing to do. And I quit my job and went all in. And now SaaS.doc, this is the fifth year of operation. You know, we've grown. Like last year, we had five conferences in five different continents, with our biggest one being in Dublin, 4,000 attendees from 74 different countries. We also launched our global community program, SaaS.local, which would have had 60 cities running local events, but for COVID, that kind of slowed that right down. But we're bringing those back, in an online and sort of like hybrid model as well. Do a lot of content, a lot of media now, on YouTube as well. All, again, really kind of focused on, how we help SaaS companies get traction, grow, and scale.
Now, you were planning a big conference this year, and you successfully pivoted. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, we were planning four conferences this year. We decided not to do five initially at the beginning of the year. So we merged our Asia and Australia one to make an Asia-Pac conference, and that was going to be in Singapore in September. We were going to do a conference in Brazil in May, do one in San Francisco in June, and we'll do our big flagship one, annual flagship one in Dublin, again, looking at maybe like 5,000 attendees and visitors this year. Obviously, well, in January, we started to see, the first sort of cases of COVID sort of worldwide. February, we started to see huge problems in Italy. It was the first country in Europe that really got impacted. And then it started to spread across Europe, like wildfire, and then, globally. And in the beginning of March, all of a sudden, we kind of saw our revenues stop. I saw in the first week of March, maybe 150 conferences cancelled, like a domino effect. And then basically, we were still thinking at the time, and like because of my lack of knowledge about COVID, that, hey, this might be a little bit like flu, given that our first conference is in May, and it's in Brazil, which is hot, We might actually be okay. And so we kind of had that mindset for like a week or so. And then we kind of quickly realized actually how real, this was. And I'm thinking, well, is it going to be over in the second half of the year? There's so much uncertainty here, right? And the feeling is, and people that are speaking to, that, this could be going on for, some time. Therefore, I've got to make a decision, not only to, postpone the upcoming conferences, or the ones in May and June, but actually the ones for the rest of the year. Because as this looks very serious, we don't believe that it will be, safe to hold these conferences. We don't believe people will be, even if COVID had disappeared, in July or September, that, thousands of people will be jumping on planes straight away. So I made a very quick decision. Guys, I'm pretty confident we won't be running in-person conferences. Therefore, what can we do? We had a list of seven options of like how to pivot. or not like not how to pivot, or ideas to pivot to. And really, online conferences was the one that we could really, I think, execute against the best with our existing skill set. It would be our kind of fastest time to value, fastest time to revenue. And so it kind of ticked all the boxes, and we said, okay, that's what we're going to do. We created SaaS.remote. We went for probably about, you know, 5 or 6 weeks without any revenue. But we had that sort of period of, you know, maybe about sort of 2 to 3 weeks of idea to, you know, fully executed pivot, and then to start selling again and started generating revenue. And then we held the event in June. We had just under 3,000 people sort of registered, about 1,000 people active at any one time, and a lot of learnings about how online conferences work. And had some great speakers, and that was our first online event. Since then, we've taken those learnings for what's coming up in the future. We now have the SaaS.LATAM online, which is happening 31st of August and 1st of September. So if you're a Latin American SaaS founder, exec, or VC, that'd be interesting for you. Then our flagship Dublin event is now SaaS.EMEA online for this year, happening in October 12th to the 15th. And then we're doing our Asia Pac event in November. I think next year we will likely, and I hope, be hybrid in that I think these, I think LATAM, I think Asia Pac, probably North America, could be online events for us. And then the hope is that our Dublin event, that we can keep that in person, and everybody will come back and we'll all be, you know, one big family again, and enjoying some Guinness and really good to see some people again in person. So that's the hope. And likewise, SaaS.local, you know, we're starting to see some of the first ones, you know, come back, both in person and online as well. So that's kind of really good to see.
Nice. Now, we know that in the SaaS, everywhere, everyone was affected. Every single business was affected. But luckily, SaaS industry is, and this is my take, is that, you know, SaaS industry in general is fortunate that unless your SaaS is serving industries that were really hit hard by COVID, which is like events or travel, and you were not able to pivot, majority of SaaS companies didn't see maybe the growth that they expected to see, but at least they didn't go out of business, right? So the SaaS companies still have this recurring revenue, and I think this is the beauty of the SaaS industry. You talk to a lot of companies all over the world, Europe, US, Latin America. What do you see happening worldwide?
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Like, I mean, so if you think about SaaS.com, for instance, you know, started this year an events business where we don't have this recurring revenue. You know, each month our revenue, you know, obviously it's really dependent on our sales, and we have our forecasts and targets, and it can be very spiky and it can be very up and down, you know, and I've often yearned for that, the holy grail of recurring revenue, where, you know, each month that, okay, you know, you should be getting, you know, X, and it growing, you know, if your retention rate is good, you know, this is just growing, and I'll be the SaaS founder that's sitting on the beach and just watching my company grow. And I know it doesn't work like that, but SaaS as a business model, like, fantastic, right? And it's not bulletproof, but it's really a strong business model for a global pandemic and for a recession. But so now there's been huge, I would say, positives about SaaS in Corona. And some like small sort of negatives as well. But on the positive side, I think what we've seen because of COVID and is an acceleration of digitization, you know, in business, in enterprise. So depending who you're speaking to, I've seen quotes from 10 years worth of, you know, digital transformation in just 2 months or even less, right? And within that, you know, again, like with everybody having to kind of like work from home, you know, enforce working from home, you know, bringing your laptops from home or working from your desktops, then you're needing a whole kind of suite of tools to help you as a business, you know, operate, to sell, to market, to do video calls, etc. And what we've seen then off the back of that, and 2020 has been a year where the stock market, you know, for SaaS companies has never been better. And we've seen, you know, Zoom has probably quadrupled, you know, its valuation, from what it was in December to what it is now. You know, I mean, you're talking about sort of the Zoom becoming more valuable than, you know, many airlines and so on, right? And Twilio has really sort of been benefiting. Shopify, you know, people can, you know, certainly for a period of time, people couldn't go out to shops and purchase things, but people have been buying, you know, online to kind of, you know, help them through the lockdown kind of period and shelter at home period, right? And Shopify has, again, exponentially grown, like, to a $60 billion valuation or something crazy like that, but as well, right? So many SaaS companies have been winners because of COVID. There are some, I wouldn't quite call them sort of losers, but I think if you're a SaaS company that is non-essential, and let's say what I mean by that, maybe you are a Chrome plugin, you're just a tool rather than a SaaS that is, really embedded in the workflow that a business kind of needs, then you've probably seen, some churn, right? Some significant churn. This is public, so I think it's fine to sort of discuss it. But I had, Joel Gascoigne from Buffer on the SaaS Revolution podcast not too long ago. And, they were pre-COVID at 22 million ARR. And then because of COVID, they lost 1 million in ARR. Because, again, a lot of people are looking at, a lot of businesses looking at cutting costs. And one of the costs that you look to is your subscriptions. And then it's like, which subscriptions can I cancel? And we cancelled a whole bunch of subscriptions, from performance management software to, social media tools, and so on. The things we didn't cancel were, things like CRM and, others. But even in certain collaboration tools, like, you're looking at like free plan versus, the premium and so on. So I think the there are a lot of companies, if they're not essential, they've seen a lot of churn. And I think, again, also a lot of startups, right? If you're in that kind of really early stage and perhaps, if you haven't found product market fit yet, you're likely to have had an impact because of COVID. And I have seen, and I've unfortunately, spoken to some founders that have cut their teams down from 17 to 3 people. I've seen most founders have cut their growth rate plans for sure, from 150%, per year to 50% per year or something. I sort of read actually today a company called Unbabel. It was founded in Portugal. They provide like AI translation for businesses, for customer support. And they, they were planning on that rocket ship growth literally this year, and they had to kind of reduce their growth plans. But they're still growing 50% per year, so it's not too bad. I think the other kind of impacts we saw and right at the beginning of COVID was that VCs kind of stopped investing initially because of the uncertainty, and certainly slowed it down. And there were a lot of term sheets that we heard anecdotally that term sheets were on the table and they got taken away. And for those companies that, they were taken away, if you don't have the run rates or the runway, for your business and at least kind of 1 year, then that could be, pretty damaging. So I think we've seen a lot of that. It's starting to pick up a little bit more in terms of VCs, but they're still quite slow. And there's a new, the new normal in everything, in sales, in marketing, and in investing, whereby the VCs can't really meet the founders in person. So they're having to learn and decide whether we invest over Zoom. And then there is, the background checks, and how do you find that this founder is credible, and how do you click and connect with this founder? So we have seen some of those impacts. And also, possibly, I think on that, M&A has been sort of, I think, quite rife. We're starting to kind of see that. So there are a lot of big companies that are coming out there, picking up, some of these smaller companies, whether they're companies that are in trouble or just it's a good time to kind of go out there, because a lot of businesses are really kind of starting to think, well, do we have the revenue, that's coming in, over the next sort of couple of years? Do we have the appetite to continue? And it, unfortunately, these bigger companies are being quite opportunistic and going in and, consolidating, a lot of markets. So yeah, SaaS is probably one of the best industries to be in a pandemic. But again, great if you're a Zoom and a Twilio and a Shopify and huge, public companies or companies with, huge, I guess, war chests, of money. But if you're a smaller company and, searching for product market fit and, you don't have enough money in the bank, it's going to be tough.
You know what? Probably majority of companies that I talk to either have seen growth or they've been more or less stable. I probably have talked to a couple of companies or aware of a couple of companies that have seen significant drop, But other than that, I do think that we've been pretty successful. Back in March, I've interviewed Ben Murray, the SaaS CFO, and we talked a lot about preserving cash, cutting costs. And what are some activities and actions that you see companies take to, and especially right now, since, you know, dust kind of settling in a little bit, the remote work, what are some other actions that you see companies taking right now?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I think everybody was cutting costs initially, sort of back then, you know, when you spoke to Ben. And I say, unfortunately, we saw, again, even a lot of SaaS companies, you know, cut 20%, 25% of their workforce, right? So there has been, you know, some sort of impact, or people are looking, you know, to the future or thinking about uncertainty and how do we, if we've ramped up for a certain growth, but we're actually not going to hit that growth rate, that means, unfortunately, you know, we have to, you know, let's say let go, you know, some of the team that we've built for the, you know, predicted 100% or growth rate or and so on. But yeah, overall, you know, it's been sort of pretty positive. You know, what we are seeing, or one thing that certainly we've seen, and which is quite close to home, is that, you know, SaaS companies love events, right? And they love exhibiting, you know, at events. But there's been a real kind of mixed sort of bag, right, of companies that are just not investing, you know, in events. That budget has disappeared, right? And it's going elsewhere, maybe on, you know, digital advertising or something like that. And we've seen that. But we're also then seeing, you know, certain companies that, you know, are having a belief that, you know, brand awareness, thought leadership and, you know, leads are still, you know, very important. They're being a bit more conservative in terms of what budget that they have available, because still, like, budgets in general have been slashed, and they're still, you know, they're not what they were. But we do have some companies that are investing in online events, and we're seeing that. And now, again, what's been escalated because of COVID is that there's all these event online tech platforms, because you can't attend in-person events. So there's these, you know, great platforms like Hopin, which we use, which now allow you to do, you know, multiple stages of content, you know, breakout sessions, roundtables, you know, virtual expo areas and networking. We're hoping that we can kind of lead the way and help educate, you know, the market and SaaS folks and our customers that actually that this is a really good option. From a SaaS perspective, one kind of market of SaaS that's just really blown up this year, as I said, is event tech, like online, just like so many of these great platforms. And Hopin, for instance, I mean, they rushed out of beta this year because of COVID. So they may still have been in beta had it not been for COVID. I mean, they initially raised like 6 million seed at the beginning of this year. And like 3 months later, they raised a 40 million series, right, from Salesforce Ventures and Northstone and so on, right? And I'm hearing that, you know, these VCs have never seen such rapid growth. The interesting thing will be to see, because it's kind of the only option for events now, not just Hopin, but I mean, you know, online events. What happens when we can do in-person events? Do these companies see a dip in growth? Does everybody ditch online and go back to, like, you know, meeting up in person? But I predict it's going to be a hybrid. It'll be interesting to see if they can sustain such rapid growth.
Just recently, I read a really interesting book by Jack Welch called Real Life MBA, where in the book he talks about that there's going to be many instances and many events when something's going to whip you into shape, and he calls it a whack. So he says that a whack is a terrible thing to waste, which is really, even though the book was written many years ago, but it's very, very interesting reading like these days. And I started thinking about this. And do you have a few examples of interesting SaaS companies that have pivoted recently that, you know, have not wasted this whack?
Yeah. Funny you should say that, because I was doing a talk yesterday whereby I put up this quote, and it's a quote from Winston Churchill, who said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." So pretty much the same thing. Last week, I spoke to Larry Gadia, who is the CEO of Envoy. And so Envoy is this, you know, when you go into an office, whether it's a WeWork or maybe they have their own version, but generally when you go into an office for a meeting, which nobody has done for a while, you know, you see an iPad or a tablet there. And then, you know, instead of perhaps speaking to the receptionist, you type in, you see the big E for Envoy, you type in, "Alex Sumer is here, here's my title, I'm here to see Natalie," right? And then that message goes to you and says, "Alex is here, come down and collect him or send me up, right? And so I've seen this product around at every, you know, office that I've been to, you know, for the last few years, and a great company, you know, backed by Andreessen Horowitz initially for their seed round, and, you know, really kind of scaled nicely to a couple of hundred people within the organization. COVID hits, nobody's going into the office, nobody needs that tool anymore, certainly for in the short term, right? So what happens? I mean, I don't know how many of these workplaces have just cancelled their subscriptions or how the model works, but I'm assuming that their revenue saw, like, you know, a bit of a hit, right? And then you've raised all this venture capital, you employ 200 people, you're like, well, my product enables people to come into the workplace and nobody's going into the workplace. And then there's a talk about remote work and everybody working from home for the rest of, the rest of fraternity. Is my product gonna, you know, my company, like, be killed by COVID? So what they've done and they sort of pivoted, and they have a suite of apps, but they've created a product which basically makes it safe to go into work. So you can look on your app and say, okay, here's who's in the office, you know, here is, you know, anybody that is, you know, has had COVID or whatever, or, you know, here's somebody like not feeling well or whatever, and just kind of makes it safe to get back to work and can help actually, like, save lives, right? And so it's been a sort of nice sort of pivot to, you know, for them to create a product which basically, yes, like, helps speed up the way that you enter into an office, to a product that now actually helps save lives and is really will be a part of helping people get back into the office and get back into the office safely. So I think that was a really kind of nice, like, pivot and an idea to take, you know, what the company, you know, was to something, you know, quite new and really sort of relating to what's happening, you know, in the world sort of right now. So becoming a, you know, slightly different, you know, company and really helping people through this moment and beyond. So I thought that was really cool as well.
Just recently, I spoke to one of members of the mastermind groups that I run for SaaS founders, and he has ticketing software. So he pivoted to social distancing ticketing solutions a couple of months ago, and last month was his biggest month ever for the entire history of the company, even though the company is a few years old. Yep. I want to kind of give you an opportunity or open the floor for you to talk about anything else that we, you know, I haven't mentioned or I haven't brought up, because I'm sure that there are so many things that we can talk about.
Yeah. I mean, we sort of touched on remote work a little bit, but again, I think this is very, very interesting. It's, you know, there's a lot of, like, synergies in terms of, you know, this digital acceleration that we're seeing, and the fact that we're forced to, you know, work from home, like, right now. But then all of these companies, like, you know, Twitter saying, hey, you can work from home for life, right? And beyond that, we're now seeing, you know, many of these sort of big companies that used to require people to come into the office, right, are now saying, well, actually, we can see that people can work from home, that we're still getting the results that we need. Maybe people are being more productive. There are some downsides, I think, you know, and we can kind of touch on those as well. But perhaps, you know, productivity and results, you know, have been similar or better in some cases. And then people are realizing that we don't need these expensive offices, and we don't need people to commute a couple of hours a day, you know, to the offices and come back. I mean, I live on the coast, and our office is in London, and I would work from home on Mondays and Fridays, and then I would commute in Tuesday, Thursday, and it was one and a half hours each way. So three hours a day on the train. So, you know, it was quite a long time. During that time, I actually listened to my podcasts, not my podcast, but podcasts, or read books, and actually something I'm not doing enough of now, like working, you know, from home. I haven't really been listening to podcasts at all. I haven't been doing enough reading, because, you know, my sort of daily life has changed somewhat. So I need to kind of figure that out. But yeah, I was wasting perhaps wasting, you know, a lot of time, you know, commuting, and a lot of people, you know, we're in a similar position, and now we're kind of seeing that there is a better way, perhaps, you know, to work, and working from home, like, has huge benefits and huge cost savings to employers. So there is a revolution happening, like, right now, and when we are able to go back to the office, which is starting to happen in some spaces, and You know, speaking to somebody yesterday who was back in their office in London, but there was not many people there. You know, we'll see a very different, I think, you know, situation. And I think we'll see so many companies, I don't know what percentage, but we'll be working from home and embracing that. And the companies such as Buffer or Doist that have been working from home for 10 years, you know, and growing their companies, working from home for 10 years, you know, perhaps would have been, I don't know, the people that really just kind of, you know, saw this opportunity and the benefit of that, you know, obviously, you know, so early on. And that were so forward thinking and that were perhaps have proven right about, you know, remote work. And us personally as an organization, just before enforced lockdown, we decided that, you know, a couple of weeks before we could see that the team, you know, there was a bit of anxiety and, you know, a bit of stress about being in the office and commuting and being on public transport as we were kind of, you know, nearing the peak of COVID, or it was before that. And I decided, look, everybody worked from home, you know, before enforced lockdown. And now we've sort of communicated, we're definitely working from home for the rest of 2020. And then beyond that, we'll look at whether we go back to hybrid. From a people perspective, you know, I've on the whole, I think people are doing well to working from home. A lot of the younger members of the team, I believe, want to be back in an office, want to be with people. They want that dynamism. They want that energy. And that helps them, you know, sort of during the day. And I think certainly if you're, you know, young from, you know, fresh out of university and haven't a lot of like office and work experience, you know, working from home can be quite difficult, you know, to kind of challenge and, you know, motivate yourself there. But that's what we're seeing. Like some of the younger members of the team want to go back. So the older members of the team, like, very happy with like not commuting and being remote. And yeah, and then I think, you know, SaaS in general will benefit from this trend, because there's so many tools that enable you to be productive, to collaborate, to, you know, be on video calls, you know, and so on. And just as designed, so much of SaaS is designed to help you work from home. And when we did that switch from being in the office to working from home, there was no lag. There was nothing like, you know, we just took our laptops, started working from home. And there was no interruption in our work and life, right? We just carried on, and it's because we had all these great SaaS tools that enabled us, you know, a suite of tools that enabled us just to be, you know, productive and carry on as a business. So, yeah, if you're building SaaS solutions, you know, think about, you know, things that help you work remotely, help you sell remotely. I think there'll be great opportunities there.
I know for me and my husband, he's also a SaaS founder. We've been working from home for years. So I'm actually, it's a little bit scary, but things have not changed much for us. We have two preschool age kids, 1 and 4. So, you know, the daycare is still open. They're still going there. So we work from home the way that we usually would do. So it is a little bit scary that the world is basically turned upside down and our lives are more or less, you know, the same.
Yeah, yeah, but on that point about, I guess, like things kind of being the same, like some people, their lives were very different and some the same. For me, whilst I didn't have to do the commute, you know, my Monday to Friday, actually even my week was very similar. My fiance Gemma, it was a bit different for her because she had to look after the kids who weren't at school. And then she was like just super stressed because you've got two like naughty children who don't listen to, you know, anything, and then sort of managing that. So she was actually going through quite a difficult time because of like looking after the kids and trying to homeschool them and so on. Whereas I'm just sort of upstairs in my office, you know, almost living the same, you know, kind of, you know, life during the week.
Are there any questions that I didn't ask you but should have?
Whilst we have pivoted to create online conferences, right, and whilst we look at a future of SaaSDoc conferences being hybrid and being online and being in person, this year was really and COVID was a really big moment for us and for me to really think about reinvention of the business and being a real pivotal moment for the business, right? Not just being a conference business, right? But actually, you know, thinking about how do we diversify our revenue? Because again, when you took away that conference revenue, we had nothing. So how do we do that? How do we create like more value outside of our conferences to our community? And that was a kind of moment where we say, hey, look, you know, when people come to SaaSDoc in Dublin, they get so much value from it, whether they're coming to meet with VCs and they do 20 VC meetings, or whether they, you know, get to meet, you know, Patrick Campbell and Jacko van der Kooi and Steady FD or, you know, whomever in person and, you know, have a conversation and a coffee with them and, you know, and meet all these people like during the evening, you know, around Dublin. But generally people are coming away with like so much from that. And when you kind of take that away, and yes, we're trying to replicate some of that with online conferences, how can we help our community? So what we are doing is, you know, is a few things in terms of that, you know, reinvention of the business and diversifying the business is one where we're kind of bringing out a community sort of app effectively, and Gab, who runs SaaS.local, kind of calls it almost like conference as a service. But effectively, all these sort of benefits that you get from the conference, getting that 365 days a year, and that's something that we're working on, and we hope to launch in September, you know, all being well. And then additionally, another thing that we're sort of working on is our first SaaS platform. So it kind of makes sense almost for a SaaS conference to have some form of, you know, SaaS platform or even sort of business model. And so we're looking at solving a problem around startups and investors, you know, sort of meeting, you know, startups getting fundraising, you know, during this time where, you know, they can't meet in person, where you can't come to conferences. How do we solve that problem? So we're looking at that at the moment. We're doing customer development on that. So that's the stage that we're at. And then we hope to have an MVP, like all being well, maybe in October or something like that. And we are likely to use a low-code, no-code sort of platform to build that out as well. So these are quite, you know, exciting things that we're working on. And for me as a founder, you know, when you have a mature product like SaaS.local, even though it's been, you know, we've pivoted and there's been a period of sort of like reinvention that we're sort of going through, you know, it's nice to start to create again, you know, and get back to, you know, as a founder, that the beginning part and from an idea and to building a product. And so whilst it has been, you know, difficult times and scary, you know, at times, and you know, there's been anxiety and so on just around the pivot and running the business and employing 21 people and making sure that we make, you know, pay run and so on. There's now these kind of shoots of, you know, green and excitement again about like building, you know, creating like new things. And so I'm very excited, and I believe SaaS.local will be a very different business by the end of the year than what we had planned at the beginning of the year. And we've also got a 5-year goal now to make this into a 20 million business across the various products. And I'm excited, you know, almost reinvigorated to go and build this, right? But it's still like, because we're in events now, you know, these products don't exist, but they're coming soon. Events is still a pretty tough industry to be in, whether it's online or offline, right? Despite the pivot. So, you know, this quarter is still going to be like tough. We're still, you know, largely down, you know, on where we were, you know, this time last year. But we're kind of still in this kind of, you know, survival mode through to then getting these new products launched and then thinking about the kind of the bigger picture and, you know, the 3 to 5 year goal.
Alex, thank you so much. I hope that, you know, majority of what you plan is going to come true. So thank you so much for taking the time. This has been a great session.
Thank you. No, thanks so much for having me.
And that's it for this episode. For those tech founders who have a remote team, I have a question. Do you find yourself that it's much faster for you to do things by yourself than waste all of that mental energy delegating tasks to someone? And so you either don't hire anyone, or if you already have a remote team, you're guilty of doing those tasks by yourself? Because there's just so much energy goes into delegating the tasks and then just managing people. Are you able to take a few days off and not be worried that your servers will go down or your support is going to blow up? What if you could work on more strategic, important things and let your team fix the bugs? If you only started building your team in the last couple of years, I guarantee that you are making lots of mistakes that hinder your growth without even realizing that. Oftentimes, you, the founder, may end up being the bottleneck to your team's success. That is definitely hard to swallow, but it's true. But also look on the bright side, this is also the easiest problem for you to fix because you are in control of how to fix it. I'll be launching soon a program that will help tech founders improve your team performance, and as a result, remove the roadblocks to scaling your SaaS just by improving your operations and team dynamic. This is really the shortcut. To be notified when it's live, go to my website, natalieluneva.com/team. natalieluneva.com/team.